final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7. Warriors Wrap Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
Well, Whitey Gleason, Steve Kerr was right. He said it a couple of weeks ago that the wins were coming. I think it was after the Warriors beat, or actually lost in Salt Lake City to the Jazz, going back, about 10 days ago, I believe, on Friday the 13th. The Warriors lost in Salt Lake City. He said, hey, this team has been competitive. They're starting to figure some things out, and I think that the wins are going to come. They followed that game up with just an awful performance, maybe their worst performance of the year against Sacramento back on December the 15th, so 8 days ago. But they go to Portland and are remarkably competitive, and then they find a way to get a win Friday night against the Pelicans, and now they back that up with another win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, as the Timberwolves did not become the third team to snap a double-digit losing streak against the Warriors. Warriors get it done tonight, 113-104 in a game. They led by as many as 24. It did get a little shaky down the stretch with Minnesota cutting into the lead, but when it's all said and done, the Warriors have won consecutive games for the first time this season.
Is that a winning streak? Is two in a row a streak?
Three has to be three to be a streak.
Okay,
two pair
back to back wins. Yeah, a feel good win at the Jay Center.
I typically think three is a streak.
Okay,
so not quite there yet, but an opportunity to build on tonight, to build on Friday night, and to get a win. Maybe with the Houston Rockets coming in here on Christmas. Either way, the Warriors have got to be feeling better, Whitey. That some of the hard work is now translating against some lesser opponents. Look, the Pelicans and the Timberwolves came in here reeling like, no teams have been reeling this year in
right.
the NBA. And the Warriors were able to outwork them and hit enough shots down the stretch to survive both games.
Yeah, quick point here on the Western playoff race, the teams towards the bottom. And then I'll come back to the Warriors. Portland tonight, they're eighth. Portland lost. San Antonio's ninth, they won. Sacramento is 10th, they lost. Phoenix is 11th, they lost. Memphis is 12th, they lost. Minnesota's 13th, they lost. And you got number 14, New Orleans, and the Warriors winning tonight. And the Warriors just destroyed the Timberwolves on the backboards tonight. They out-rebounded Minnesota 55-41. And D'Angelo Russell, no, he didn't score 52 like he did last time these two teams played, but he still put on something of a show with 30 points tonight. And Alec Burks, we know that Alec Burks is a guy that other teams are looking at here with the trade deadline looming. And Alec Burks tonight, 25 points on 13 shots, along with 8 assists for the Warriors, who, as you said, JD, they get their second win in a row.
So the Warriors improved to 7-24 on the season. Alec Burks was in the starting lineup because Glenn Robinson III was out of the starting lineup after starting the first 30 ball games for the Warriors. You wondered, would Eric Paschal get back in there? Would Steve Kerr go with a little bit more offense? He went with a little bit more offense and a little bit of a smaller lineup as opposed to a bigger lineup, and it winds up paying dividends tonight to Alec Burks and D'Angelo Russell, both hitting some big shots down the stretch to prevent the game from really
that thing started
tight.
Slipping away, yeah.
The Warriors really they gave Minnesota a lot of opportunities to maybe really make it extremely uncomfortable for the Warriors in the final 2 minutes, but the Warriors are able to do just enough to avoid that and get that win.
Yeah, the Warriors led by as many as 24 in that fourth quarter, in which Minnesota ended up outscoring the Warriors 37-29. What's the closest the Timberwolves got? They got within 6. Is that the closest that they got?
They got within 5.
Yeah. It was a nervous time at the Chase Center, but Burks came in, and it looked like the Warriors were having problems at both ends, and the offense had bogged down, and Steve Kerr was looking for somebody to make a big shot, and it was Alec Burks, who also defended very well tonight. The Warriors did a really good job defensively for the most part on Andrew Wiggins, who had one of those nights for Minnesota, 10 for 27 tonight. He got very frustrated at times. Finished with 22, but the Warriors defended him well. They defended the three-point line well again, even though Minnesota, again, in that fourth quarter, they started making some shots. So the final numbers looked almost decent. But the Warriors really are defending much better. They look to me like this is two games in a row in which the Warriors look like they have a clear idea of who is supposed to do what. Now, doing it is another thing. For the most part, they did that tonight. But now they appear to understand, for lack of a better term, everyone seems to understand the rules a little bit better here.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It is Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game, as we're brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, inside Chase Center. We'll be with you here. Oh, looks like we're going to go till about 11:40 tonight on 95.7 The Game, as the Warriors are victorious over the Timberwolves, 113-104. We've talked about it really every game, the last handful here. You want to see D'Angelo Russell be more aggressive. You want to see him getting shots up, and it was another night where he led the Warriors in field goal attempts by a pretty significant margin. Didn't quite get the 20 shots up that I've sort of targeted as the goal, but he did take 11 three-pointers, knocked down five of them, 18 shots, and the Warriors had probably their two best shooters shooting it tonight the most in terms of D'Angelo Russell and Alec Burks, and they go for 30 and 25. If you want to consider Damian Lee the guard, as the official box score does, it's 44 points between your starting backcourt. If you want to consider Alec Burks the guard, which I probably would, it's 55 points from your starting backcourt. But either way, you add it up, and that, you know, the wings tonight for the Warriors played very, very, very well to the tune of 69 points for the three of them.
D'Angelo Russell did something tonight that all great scorers do. He's done it at times. I know we've talked about how it'd be nice if he did it a little more often, but he got to the line 10 times. He made 9 free throws. I mean, we got a guy coming in on Christmas who's the one of the all-time masters, right, at getting to the line to pile up his point total, James Harden. So that served D'Angelo Russell well tonight. And the Warriors shot the free throws well again, 25 of 30. Damian Lee, you mentioned Damian Lee. 14 points. He also had 7 rebounds. Willie Cauley-Stein, 7 rebounds tonight, 12 points. The centers, the Warriors' two centers, Marquese Chris and Willie Cauley-Stein, took full advantage of the absence of Karl-Anthony Towns. They both had very good numbers, solid numbers, and they both had an impact on the game tonight.
Yeah, Marquese Chris really brought, I thought, an infusion of energy.
And
Willie Cauley-Stein tonight, a team high. I know you don't love the raw plus-minus, but a team high plus 25 tonight was one of those nights. And you know, it's been somewhat rare this year where you look at Cauley-Stein and you go, wow, he had a significant impact on the game. Tonight was a night where he had a significant impact on the game with Karl-Anthony Towns out. And look, Karl-Anthony Towns is the kind of guy that can really feast on the Warriors and has feasted on even the better versions of this Warriors team over the last 5 years when they were competing for championships. He'd have some monster games against him. You take him out of the equation, and it's a night where you're really thinking the Warriors, you know, can get some productivity from the bigs, and they were able to provide it.
And speaking of threes, don't you feel like there are certain nights in the modern NBA in which if you're going to compete, you got to make threes? There are some nights you have to be able to make threes. The Warriors have had some nights when they couldn't. Tonight they hit 12 of 33s. They hit 40%, and I think their three-point shooting is coming around.
Yeah, and Eric Paschal got back into the mix there. I thought that was good to see. Paschal back tonight. He only played 15 minutes, but he did knock down a couple of threes.
He's been working on that, too. I've seen him out here before games working on it.
I know you're watching him go through that pregame warm-up as we're getting ready to do Warriors live here
right,
before
right.
the game. And that's probably the quickest way for him to make, you know, a legitimate impact, the next step, let's say, for his offensive game, right? He's got the bully ball ability to drive and get to the basket. It looks like he's got a pretty solid mid-range game.
But he's got to expand that because he's really not that big by NBA standards.
Yeah, but if he can get to a point where he's comfortable almost at a minimum like a P.J. Tucker where you can put him in the corner and he can knock down the corner three, that shorter three, with some regularity. He's got a nice touch. It still looks like he's trying to figure out how much he wants to jump versus how much he wants to take almost a set shot.
He's working on, you've probably read, I've read, he's working on getting a little more arch on the ball and getting shooting the ball going up rather than, you know, shooting it at the top of your jump.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of well-timed threes, I thought, tonight for Eric Paschal in 15 minutes as he came back. Kai Bowman back tonight from the G League
but
stint.
No Smiley Geach. That Steve Kerr is a tease.
Well, the Warriors still, he's the only Warrior that doesn't wind up in the game. Steve Kerr did.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, they teased us, I guess.
Well, he could play. I mean, he's in uniform. Anybody could play.
He was active among the 13 healthy bodies the Warriors had available to them, but he was the lone Warriors player among the 13 and the lone player in this game among all actives that didn't get in via the coach's decision tonight, but the Warriors still, I mean, you talk about having just a glut of big men at this point. I mean, you've got Cauley-Stein. They played a little bit of Draymond at center. Again, they went small. They've got Marquese Chris still there. Amari Spellman, you know, found his way not getting in the first half of this game. He hasn't been playing nearly as much. And then Kevon Looney.
Looney played more minutes than Spellman.
Yeah, which, I mean, he should, right, on a normal night. I know they've said they're kind of going, you know, maybe dialing Looney back.
Exactly.
But, you know, Looney's the kind of guy, especially when you're playing well and you have an opportunity to get a win, he's a guy that I think you want to see out there a little bit more. Now, look, we're talking about, what, two shifts tonight for Looney. But, yeah, Spellman didn't get out there at all in the first half. And winds up playing a little bit. But there's just so many bigs. I think if there's an area where Steve Kerr has kind of cut the rotation down somewhat in limited minutes as far as, hey, we're going to kind of play everybody, I think it's been with the bigs. And I think you could make a case that it's actually paid off and helped this team a little bit.
By the way, I just want to say here to you and yours, happy and merry Christmas Eve, right? Isn't this Christmas Eve? Although it won't be long. It'll be actually Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas Eve. I'm looking forward to spending Christmas with you here at the Chase Center.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic as you listen here to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game with John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason as the Warriors beat the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. They hand the T-Wolves their 11th consecutive defeat. Mm. Minnesota is still 0-4 December, Whitey. They came into the month, 10-8, and are now 0-11.
Haven't won a game yet this month. It has not been a Merry Christmas for them.
0-11, and they're going to stay out on the West Coast. I believe they go to Sacramento, where they will play on the night after Christmas before heading home, and their opportunities to get wins now are dwindling for the rest of the month.
I know a lot of people, and we've done it too, have talked about a potential trade involving D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota because we know Minnesota had interest in him in the offseason. And who would the Warriors get back? Maybe they'd get Robert Covington. Robert Covington tonight played 12 minutes. I didn't even know he was there. He had 4 points tonight, hit one of three shots.
He's got to be on a good team.
Yeah. Jeff Teague's another guy who's been mentioned. Again, we have no idea whether anything like this would happen, but Jeff Teague played very well tonight. He scored 12 points in 19 minutes.
Why do you think he's fallen out of favor? That's one of those that, you know, I know he's making a lot of money.
He's making a lot of money, and they're getting ready to move on,
well,
right?
Well, so it's the final year of the deal, and you know, you bring him in, and you're thinking you're bringing him in because you're going to try to, you know, be a playoff team, and this goes back a couple of years, and they did with Jimmy Butler and with Towns and with Wiggins and all those guys, and now they're going through the youth movement, and he's a guy that's probably going to get moved at some point.
But, they got a lot to figure out, and they got a lot of tough decisions on good players they got to make.
He's the kind of guy that I think could help. I know it would be a tough cap hit to swallow, but he's the kind of guy that I think could help a playoff team, especially if it's in a backup point guard kind of a role.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be a team making some moves here. We had a trade today, and I know it's not a big deal, but I think it's interesting that trades have started. The Jazz agreeing to trade Dante Exum to Cleveland along with 2 second-round picks for Jordan Clarkson. So it has begun, and it'll be very interesting to see here whether the Warriors decide to do something, what kind of things we hear about a potential Warrior trade or two or perhaps three. And I would think, as we've said many times, a lot of teams are looking now at Alec Burks. And again tonight, I mean, if you're a team that needs some scoring off the bench, you look at, 25-8 assists, and he defended well.
Well, and tonight's the kind of night that leads me to where, you know, it's tonight's the night where if Alec Burks isn't on your team, you lose to the Timberwolves and they snap a a 10-game losing streak.
Right.
And it, you know, he is that guy on a lot of nights. You know, I've said this, that you know, really enhances the Warriors' watchability level because he's somebody that can knock down a shot. And I just, you know, you know, 7-24 is not where anybody thought this Warriors team would be. It's not where they want to be. There's obvious circumstances that go to why they're in the position that they're in, Whitey. But Alec Burks, his ability to make a shot and to score and to just know what he's doing out there offensively, I mean, he's...
Don't disagree at all.
He's got a value on this team, as crazy as that sounds. I just, I wouldn't be in a hurry. I know you're probably at some point going to have to look at it as you get closer to the trade deadline. But he, tonight is the quintessential why you like having Alec Burks around kind of a game.
Mm-hmm. He's having, well, I think he's having a career year, right? I mean, he's done a lot of good things. He did a lot of good things. He was a reliable scorer, double-digit scorer with the Jazz.
Year.
But yeah, absolutely. And he's proving that he can do things that no one was sure he could do.
Yeah, and he got kind of lost, I think, when he wound up with Sacramento last year. And it looked like they
absolutely.
Were going to really use him. And they didn't. And then
talk about disappearing.
They just didn't use him, right? It seemed like he would maybe do some of the things he's done here or there. And they were trying to make a run for the eight seed that they wound up, you know, coming up short on. But I found it was almost like you started to wonder, well, maybe he just is on the downtick. Well, he's showing the league that he's clearly not on the downtick.
Right.
And could be somebody that could help a team down the line. All right. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as he met with the media downstairs here at Chase Center following the Warriors' 113-104 win over the Timberwolves.
When you have Steph and Klay on the bench there around the guys, do you think it gives them something? I mean, does it make a little bit of a difference just having those guys around?
I think so. I think you know, our young guys are they're learning every day, and Steph and Klay have you know, been leaders on this team for a long time, and so many of our other leaders have moved on, and so they really stand out along with Draymond as, you know, the foundation of this team. So to have them here, you know, cheering the guys on, working out around them, being on the practice floor, it's really good for our young guys.
You guys, the last month or so, have had your defense has been, you know, league average, maybe even a little bit of tick above league average. Have you felt that? I mean, I remember the first month it was bottom, but you guys have kind of really stepped it up on that end.
Yeah, defense has been much better. I think, since the early part of the season, we have a better idea of what we're trying to accomplish. You know, we simplified everything after the first few weeks of the season and just tried to lock in on a few key things. And the guys have done a good job. And I think we've had good individual performances. Draymond is always tremendous on defense. But I think Willie Cauley-Stein has put together some good games. You know, three block shots tonight, good rim protection. And guys are just playing hard, you know, playing with a lot of energy, a lot of force. So it's good to see.
Alec mentioned that this win streak coincides with having healthy bodies back, and there's more that you can do in practice. Is it as simple as that, just having the bodies and having that energy?
It definitely helps. You know, it helps to have options, you know, during a game like this where there's a lot of runs and you know, we can, you know, make a substitution that might make a difference. Whereas before, when we had eight guys, we were just trying to keep everybody, you know, healthy enough and fresh enough to give us the minutes we needed. So we have more options now, and I think guys are feeling more comfortable with one another too. You know, they're starting to get to know each other and understand each other's tendencies, and so that's a good thing.
I know every game's kind of one of 82, but, you know, you have the Christmas game coming up. Is this kind of a good time for you guys to kind of get a boost, a rhythm, as you head into this kind of showcase game for your guys who, you know, you're used to it, but a lot of these guys aren't used to the stage you'll be on?
Yeah, we need this regardless of, you know, what's coming next. We just needed to win a couple of games in a row just to get a little momentum and feel good. But Christmas is always a special day to play on. You know that everybody's watching, and it's got a different vibe, a different feel. Our players will be really excited, and it'll be good to go into that game with a little momentum.
How different is it preparing for Houston with the guys you have now versus having, you know, Clay, Steph, KD? No, I mean, your prep work, I mean, how does it change?
Well, all of the guys that we used to put on James Harden are no longer there to put on James Harden. So we'll have to try some new guys on him. We've seen them already earlier in the season, and so we know what they're about. Westbrook's now playing a lot better now that he's comfortable with the group. So they seem to be hitting their stride. So we know it's going to be a tough game, but it'll be a fun challenge, and our guys are looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is going to be a lot of fun in here. 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, Christmas, and the Warriors, you know, they're right smack dab in the middle of everything mm-hmm. going on Christmas, and you know it's going to be different, obviously, because there isn't going to be Steph, there isn't going to be Clay, you know, Draymond will be playing. Obviously, Durant is no longer with the Warriors, but it's going to be, I think, a lot of fun for some of these players that haven't had the opportunity to play.
Yeah, Steve Kerr said we're looking forward to it, and our understanding is there are a number of the Warriors who haven't played on Christmas who are really excited about the chance to play in that showcase game.
Yeah, and the Rockets are going to come in here, and it's, you know, if you did a list of, you know, Warriors fans' greatest nemesis, right? And just mm-hmm. you know, the guys that...
Nemesises or nemeses?
I don't know. But, you know, the guys that you love to hate, if you're a Warriors fan, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, I think, are right at the top
of
that
LeBron,
list.
Or is LeBron?
I think LeBron's in there. I think Chris Paul's in there.
Yes.
You know, there's always a decision to be made as to whether you're just going to go, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 positionally all the way up. And have a true position, or maybe you go positionless
mm-hmm.
with a, you know, where Westbrook and Harden and Chris Paul all could be with LeBron maybe at the four, and then
it's Christmas Eve. We shouldn't be talking about that stuff.
Dwight
right?
Howard maybe the center. if you go back through the bulk of the decade, but having those two on the same team, I mean, to think to have Chris Paul, you know, with Blake Griffin and those guys, you know, battle with the Warriors for a few years, and then Paul winds up in Houston, and Paul winds up playing with Harden. He had Harden playing with Westbrook and Durant before, you know, predating this era of Warriors success, and now you've got obviously Harden and Westbrook together again. But
I didn't think that would work, and it wasn't working for the early part of the season. But as Steve Kerr said, they appear to have figured something out. Russ has figured out he just can't keep casting threes when he's not making them. And Harden has figured out, wow, if our offense is a little more diversified, it's easier for everybody. Whatever it is, those two guys are clicking. Whereas early in the year, they were really poor with them both on the floor together. But they, to their credit, they appear to have worked it out, and they got the win up in Sacramento tonight.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason here. It is Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll hear from Draymond Green coming up here as well. As it is brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. Warriors win tonight 113-104. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center. Well, the Warriors were victorious for the second consecutive game, 113-104. The final, a game the Dubs led by as many as 24 before the Timberwolves cut it down to 5 late. But the Warriors with just enough offense and just enough stops to wind up getting the job done tonight. They are 7-24. We've got our look at the reverse standings
here
coming up.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, is there is a team that has surpassed.
Yeah. Save the dessert for the end,
the
of course.
The Warriors in the reverse standings, but the Warriors still in a pretty prime position, even with victories the last two ball games.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough to extend this to 3 in a row, but hey, what the heck. Tom Tolbert made an interesting point in the post game, you know, and he knows from the players' perspective, some of these players, they got family in, you know, they got family visiting, and it's nice when family's in, especially in the midst of this difficult year to, hey, you win a game and there you go out and you have a meal and it's just a feel-good victory for the Warriors, who do seem to be figuring out a few things.
Let's go ahead and hear from Alec Burks. Alec Burks, nice ball game tonight, to 25 points, an 8 of 13. He was inserted into the starting lineup, played 35 minutes, and Alec Burks met with reporters down in the Bill King interview room here at Chase Center.
When the Timberwolves managed to kind of come back there in that fourth quarter, what was it that you guys were able to do in order to just kind of stave them off? What did you see from your teammates as far as poise?
I think they started making a run. I think Draymond came back in. I think he got a shot for D'Lo. And I think on the left side, I think that's what started it. And, you know, we was just playing out of character. They made a good run, and we countered that.
Maybe is there anything that has, like, precipitated this run that you're on right now where you're shooting the ball pretty well and the points are coming? Is it just health? Is it just work? I mean, how'd you get here?
A combination of all the above, what you said, I think. And my teammates just put me in the right positions. Coach and staff put me in the right positions. Steve trusting me, you know, with the ball in my hands to make plays with myself and the others. I don't know, just hitting on it at the right time.
Are you guys really feeling like there's more chemistry now offensively, like in these last couple weeks?
I just think it's more bodies. You know, the first month, I feel like we was playing with 8 guys. You know, people just getting healthy, and that's what happens when people get healthy. We get practice time. You know, chemistry comes with that. You know, I think without practice time, it's tough, you know, to bond with new people, new system, new culture. You know,
I know you guys are all pros, but when you see Clay and Steph on the bench there, is that like a little something for you guys?
I think just seeing them anywhere, you know, just being around, because, you know, they don't have to be around. You know, because, you know, the injury, you know, them doing their rehab here, you know, being around the guys, still joking and laughing, I think that's big just for a young team to see that.
Yeah, and Stephen Curry's been around more and is going to be around more, according to Steve Kerr. So I think that's a good thing with the Warriors being home more than they have been. And Curry now at a point where he got the pins taken out of the hand, and
right,
he's starting to heal up and slowly ramp his way back up toward, you know, doing some basketball activities and eventually working his way toward a return. It's always good, and the energy's just a little bit different when he's around, and he was around the other night, and I think it did give the guys a boost.
Yeah, and Alec Burks, you mentioned that he played team high 34 and a half minutes. Well, he also played a team-high 33 minutes in Portland, 30 minutes Friday against the Pelicans. Point being that in two of the last three games, Alec Burks has played a team-high in minutes. He would have been great coming off the bench last year, right? Would he be great coming off the bench next year?
I think he would. I think he really would. And I just am always a little reluctant, although I do think teams are probably calling about him. Or if
right,
not, they will be. I'm always reluctant. If you trade somebody, would they want to come back? And it just seems like it always kind of muddies the waters a little bit. As much as you'd think, oh, it's simple, you just trade him and he goes wherever and he plays it out and then he comes back, because obviously he'd be a free agent again. But it doesn't tend to work that smoothly.
The thing is, if you take a cold, hard, objective look at it, this is the best he's ever played. So if you bring in a guy on a veteran's minimum, right, and he plays well, and you're able to get some decent offers, and we don't know what those offers are, but then you have to get what you can for him, right? You got to essentially sell high, right? And you think about next year he'd be great. Well, there's no guarantee he's going to play like this next year if you have him, and he's playing great, but he's never really played like this before.
Yeah, and what I always say about Alec Burks, I like him on this team. I would love him on next year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he definitely could have helped the last couple of years in terms of
he makes shots
score.
And he's very versatile. I didn't realize how versatile he is.
And he's also somebody that I think, you know, he's somebody that you can play. And I know staying healthy's been, I think, the biggest problem for him, you know, over time with Utah before he bounced around a little bit last year. But he's somebody that on a very good team, you could play him 12 minutes or you could play him 35 minutes. Like he's one of those players that's good enough to where if you did have an injury, if you did have a scenario where maybe you wanted to rest somebody here and there, if you were – you would feel comfortable playing him 30 minutes
right,
if you needed to. And not everybody that's on the, you know, on your bench do you feel that comfortable about. Some guys that are on your bench, you just want to get their 12 to 15 minutes and that's it.
Right. One of the tricky aspects of evaluating some of the players on this team for the Warriors is, and let's say, certainly Alec Burks is one of them, but I'm talking more about Willie Cauley-Stein, Marquese Chriss. It makes sense that they're going to play better when they have even better players around them, right? So you're trying to figure out how they would fit in. Like Marquese Chriss, how's he going to fit in next year when you have Clay and Steph? Well, he's probably going to be even better, right? But you don't know that, so it's really difficult to evaluate until you can see him play more with Steph later in the year, which is going to be so important about when Steph comes back eventually in the spring or perhaps sooner.
And you're going to want to see it. I mean, that's
you're going to want to see,
and I think that's why the Warriors are reluctant to, you know, be open to trading D'Angelo Russell right now. I think it's why, while they may get to a point where they look at that with Glenn Robinson or with Alec Burks, in particular Burks.
I still don't think it's going to work with Russell, but yeah, you want to see it. I know,
but you want to see it to be sure. You know, can you have some kind of turbocharged three guard lineup? I mean, I'd like to see it for 6-7 games. You know, just to see what the positive and the negative aspects of it are. But all of that is down the line. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We'll hear from Draymond Green coming up. Also, a look at the reverse standings and call of the game. That's all straight ahead here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center. Warriors 113, Timberwolves 104. Warriors now 7-24. Where does that put them in the all-important reverse standings? Whitey Gleason, we'll get to that here coming up momentarily. But first, let's get to our call of the game.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Russell in front of the Wolves bench. Great move on McLaughlin. Step back for a three. Got it! Whew. Man. 77-54. 22 down for Russell.
And D'Angelo Russell may or may not be averaging 41 points a game against the Timberwolves this year.
Okay. All right. In two games, 52 in one game. Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
He may or may not be averaging 41 against them. So, yeah, when he's just kind of...
What is his percentage of appearances on the call of the game? It's pretty high, isn't it?
It is pretty high.
Yeah.
Among the 31 games, and obviously he hasn't played in all of those games, but in the games that he's played.
Got to be pushing.
I would say 67 to 75%.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say somewhere in there. Without having, we may need to do an actual fact check on that.
Right.
Maybe between
it's
now
an impressive
and
number.
Wednesday afternoon. But he has a knack for making big plays and winding up on call of the game. If you know the call of the game, make sure to tune in tomorrow to Joe Lowe and Dibs here at 95.7 The Game, 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. And if you can correctly identify the call we just played, you will win $150 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. Call of the game brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. You can get a lot of loaded tots.
I'll tell you what. I had the weirdest dream this morning. I was listening to that show, and I don't know if I'm hanging out with you too much or what. I thought I heard you on Joe Lowe and Dibs. It's like, oh, my goodness.
That was
what
a fact.
What?
That is a fact. It was Coase and JD and Nice Guy Steven.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And for Joe Lowe and Dibs. So, no, that was actually today still. Now, in 27 minutes, it would be yesterday.
Well done. Good stuff.
But, yeah.
You're very versatile.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to hear from Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and hear from Draymond Green after the ball game. Just as often as D'Angelo Russell appears on the call of the game highlight, we have to, by percentage, bleep out a portion of Draymond Green's post-game press conference.
Okay.
And tonight, another one of those nights – as the Warriors were victorious over the Timberwolves. Let's hear from Draymond Green postgame.
You guys have been league average, even a little bit above on defense the last like 10 or so games. What's changed, in your opinion, kind of on that end from early in the season?
I think more continuity. And I think our younger guys are, you know, getting some experience under their belt, you know, starting to figure out the rotations. And that makes a difference. You know, everybody always talk about familiarity on the offensive end. It matters on the defensive end, too. You know, it's like if you got a guy that's semi-beat but not all the way beat, then you need to know who that guy is and what's his tendencies. Do you really need to help him, or can he make up that? You know, because that can kill an entire defensive rotation. It's just little things like that that, you know, I think we're starting to figure out.
Steve specifically mentioned Cauley Stein, his rim protection lately. What have you seen from him?
It's been amazing. He's really been great protecting the rim. He made several plays tonight at the rim. And you know, then also giving us the spark that he's been giving us on the offensive end, the way he runs the floor. There's no big in the league that can keep up with him the way he runs the floor. So, you know, like the play tonight where he got the block and then sprinted out and got the dunk. He's been playing great on both ends of the floor.
Is winning a couple of games, I mean, is it good
it
for the soul?
Amazing. You know
what I mean? Is it good for the soul, you know?
Hey, I never thought I'd be so excited for two regular season wins in my life. But it feels good.
When you have your guys, Steph and Clay, there, does that make a little difference for you guys? I mean, just in terms of juice or anything?
It does. Just having their presence, especially for the young guys, you know, where – those guys haven't been around as much. You know, I've always said when you're hurt, you're just not, you know, as much as you try to keep someone a part of the team, you're really just not a part of everything that's going on at that time. And so, you know, I think it really makes a difference. Like, we got a super young team. These young guys look up to them. You know, like, they are legends. You know, like, superstars, heroes to some of these young guys. And so, for, you know, just to have their presence around, I think it definitely helps him make a difference.
You are very used to the stage that you guys are going to be facing Wednesday. Rockets in here, ABC, you know, national TV.
Damn, they let us keep that ABC game, huh?
Yes, they did.
I wonder why. Nobody switched the game to, huh?
You cannot change the Christmas slate.
Yeah, I bet. No.
What will you tell your young teammates about, you know, facing the Rockets and what they're stepping into?
I really just try to help them with tendencies, but at the end of the day, you just got to go out there and play, you know. Don't worry about the stage. It's still a basketball game, you know, but really just understanding guys' tendencies and, you know, understanding rotations and how important X and out to the corner and all of those things are going to be. And most importantly, trying to defend without fouling.
All right, so Draymond Green there.
He is funny tonight.
It feels bleeping amazing.
Yeah. Let us keep the Christmas game, huh?
Yeah, and if you've been keeping track, the Warriors actually lost another nationally televised game, an NBA TV game at that, but the NBA today took away the Warriors-Timberwolves rematch. It was going to be on NBA TV, I think, on the 2nd. January.
NBA TV. I love NBA TV, but that doesn't really count.
But yeah, they swapped out some other games there, and I know the Portland game last week, the Pelicans game went away, the game in Salt Lake City went away. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of others, but yeah, there's no changes for ABC, so it'll be Harden and Westbrook in here on Wednesday, which will be a lot of fun. And yeah, we've talked a lot about this, you know, and I've been a little frustrated with it because, you hear Steve Kerr say, hey, wins are coming, and you want to see the wins. And I think the biggest disappointment of December is the fact that the Warriors, for the most part, until the last two games, hadn't really translated some of the better efforts against better teams into wins against lesser teams. You know, then Memphis comes in, the Knicks come in. You lose a couple games, some games, you know, you thought on the previous road trip before that they could win, they didn't win. To have a little bit of validation, I think, is important for, you know, what Steve Kerr is saying, because at some point, I think players go, well, okay, that's nice that you say it, but, I mean, it's
right.
Not really happening.
Yeah, I think the most encouraging sign the last three games is that you've seen the Warriors – actually be competitive and play reasonably well. They had some wobbles tonight. That fourth quarter was a little touch and go, a little dodgy, but they'd been so wildly inconsistent. And, you know, it's going to be an uphill climb all season long, but that's three games in a row now where Draymond talked about there's a little more continuity. As I said, it looks like everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing, and they've just been a lot more consistent and a lot more competitive over a string of games which we hadn't seen.
Houston in here on Wednesday afternoon. The Rockets have won seven straight road games.
Okay, they're due, right? They're due for fall. A little market correction.
They won in Sacramento tonight, and we talked about it a
little
bit
earlier.
By the
same score that the Warriors won by, 113-104.
Yeah, interesting there. But, yeah, we were talking about, you know, Harden and Westbrook. How's it going to work? I was kind of with you. I didn't think it was going to work, but it actually...
And it wasn't for a long time, and now it appears to be working. Yeah,
it actually has overall, and I wonder how much of that is just the fact that, I mean, the Western Conference has been... for the most part, really disappointing, I think, when you look at the Warriors' fall, which is for obvious reasons, but then you look at the standings otherwise, and, I mean, my goodness, the Pelicans at 8-23, Minnesota losing 11 in a row. I mean, I think, you know, Sacramento certainly thought they'd be better than 12-18. The Spurs and the Blazers both down. That 8 seed still right there at 14-17 as Portland lost tonight to the Pelicans. Let's take a look at the reverse standings here before we call it a night. Mentioned a new leader, if you will, with the Warriors win tonight and the two consecutive Warriors wins. Atlanta now has vaulted the Warriors at 6-25. So Atlanta 6-25. The Warriors still, though, are in the top three as they are even again with the Knicks. The Knicks and Warriors have the same record now, 7-24.
And even if you're fourth, I know the top three have a 14% chance of the first pick, but if you're fourth, you still have a 12.5% chance.
And fourth currently is the Pelicans, although the Pelicans did get their eighth win tonight. They won in Portland as the Blazers just had a miserable night shooting the three ball. I think they had 4 of 29 from three-point range.
Very flawed roster.
Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum combined 2 for 20. Tonight from three-point range, so that's how you lose at home to the Pelicans as the Blazers did tonight. So the Pelicans are in that fourth spot, and then you've got Cleveland has won three in a row. So Cleveland was right there 6-21, and they've won three in a row. So they're now 9-21, and they are the next team up. And after that, it's the Wizards, and then the Timberwolves are starting to creep down. You lose 11 consecutive games, and you'll vault downward or plummet.
Got to make that tough decision. Are we going to try to make a run here, or are we going to go ahead into tank mode?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, watching them tonight, I think it's probably going to wind up being the latter. All right, that's going to do it for us. Want to thank everybody, including Alex Scott and Ryan Mauser in our San Francisco studios, for Tim Jordan and Itzel Alvarez out here at Chase Center. For Whitey Gleason, I'm John Dickinson. Whitey, you're back tomorrow, right?
Yes.
10 to 2 with Matt
Steiny. I'll be on with Steiny. Yeah, yeah, looking forward to
it.
It's our annual Christmas Eve special.
Yeah, it'll be good. First annual?
Yes.
First annual. And I will be back with you Wednesday, Christmas, 12:30. We'll have Warriors Live for you here on 95.7 The Game. All right, that's going to do it for us. Keep it locked to 95.7 The Game. Tomorrow we will be live and local all day long. We'll talk to you on Wednesday here from Chase Center. Warriors win tonight over the Timberwolves, 113-104. You heard it right here, 95.7 The Game.